If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band, two members of a band that is relatively new to me. I think that as people who listen to the show regularly know, I like to try and find as many local bands as humanly possible. I just sort of look on every form of social media and Bandcamp and everything else and kind of just hit follow on everybody. And then I often go back afterwards and find out what kind of music they actually play and find some that I like. So I think that my guests on this episode were one of those bands that I first started following. Just, I saw Winnipeg, click, didn't pay attention to it. And then when you got in touch and we started sort of working out this interview, I definitely went back and listened and looked at your pages and everything. So I think I have a good idea of who you are and what you do. But I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves and maybe say what you do in the band and then a little bit of background about what the band's all about.
I'm Anna. I'm the lead singer. And yeah, I mean, I'm second newest member, but been around for a little bit. Give it to Callum.
Cool.
Well, I'm Callum. I'm the guitar player and basically main songwriter of the band. I don't know.
We're talking about the band.
How long have you been around?
So we've been around since, well, there's kind of two ways to look at it. One way is that we've been around as official Sunbreather since 2022. But the drummer and I, Noah, who's not here, we've been jamming on and off for about 6 or 7 years. And
okay,
we had a band previously, which is like kind of a spiritual continuation of on our end. So
cool. And then how long has it been since this band has had its current lineup? Like when did it become solidified as the current group?
I think, would that be November?
Yeah.
2023. Because that's when our bass player James joined.
Okay.
She's been here since
2022
in June. Yep. So
yeah, our first lineup we had for about a year, yeah. I think, with our other bass player, and then he's in the military, so he went off and did that, which is great on him, but couldn't stay with us, so we found James, and he's been great since coming on, and love having him around. Yeah. So yeah.
Cool. So I guess it's fairly recent that you've had this lineup that you're currently playing with. When I first went back and listened to find out what you actually were, what kind of music you're playing and everything, the first thing that struck me was that, you know, when I first started going to shows, I was like in junior high, it was around 1995, and the bands that were playing then, you could go to any show and there would be tons of people playing like essentially what you guys are doing. I mean, the whole like, you know, heavy alternative rock with a funk influence, that was like, it was everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And so it was very cool to see. So when I started listening to this, I was thinking, this sounds like something that I remember from way back. And then I saw one of your social media posts talking about bringing back the 90s funk rock. So obviously, that was an accurate, impression I had about that. But where does that come from? I mean, why does that inspire you? What is the reason behind using that as an influence?
Well, I was super obsessed with the Red Hot Chili Peppers starting from grade 9 and grade 8, like, I guess grade 7, 8, mm-hmm. between there. That's when I started playing guitar first. And I really got into it because I love John Frusciante. And I just was obsessed with him. I was, like, learning everything I could, like, note for note. Like, was just going crazy. Mm-hmm. And that obviously put a huge influence on how I play the guitar generally and the kind of music I like to listen to. And I mean, you also have quite a background in some of those alternative funk sort of stuff, like I Mother Earth and all that.
Okay, yeah.
I think a lot of our influence is like family based. Like Callum grew up listening to a lot of those kinds of bands, and so did I. And so our parents had big influence on the music that we listened to, and consequently the music that we now play and like to write.
Well, and they were all in their 20s in the 90s. So yeah. They were all buying buying the Chili Peppers CDs. They were buying, Glue Leg.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they have that. I Mother Earth, Soundgarden, all the grunge bands, right? So that is obviously a huge influence on our sound.
Yeah. For sure, yeah. It's crazy to think. I mean, I have one of my kids is in high school. I get that the generations have worked like this, where people who were listening to that stuff in the 90s now have adult kids, but it still seems super weird to me. When someone's like, oh yeah, my parents had the Soundgarden tape, I'm like, well, I have it right there. It still happens. Yeah. What's going on? But I think that, like, it seems like music is, and pretty much every kind of pop culture thing, style and movies and music, and it's also cyclical. Like, things take 20 or 30 years and then they come back in a big way. And I mean, not that there's a ton of bands doing what you do in Winnipeg, but it's not you're not completely unique. Like, there's other people doing similar things. So this is obviously, it's influenced a whole sort of new generation of people, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, I say that we're also not going to try to, like, I know there's a lot of bands out there right now that are doing a sort of a vintage sort of nostalgia thing going on, where they do try to emulate a lot of bands from, like, say the 70s or 80s and try to hit that sound.
Yeah,
it's really cool. But we're not trying trying to be the 90s funk rock band exactly. We still want to push those boundaries and see where we can take it. That's really what we're doing with some of the new stuff we're writing.
Okay.
So.
Well, I guess what other styles of music have seeped in then? I mean, because, you know, like, obviously the 90s funk rock stuff isn't not the only thing you've listened to or that you probably actively listen to now. As a band, is there anything else that all of you sort of agree on as far as music that inspires it, or is it fairly different from person to person?
Well, so our writing process a lot of the time is kind of like instigated by Callum and Noah, so the guitarist and the drummer. They end up sitting down and writing like the framework of the song, essentially, and then they pass it over to me. So I think the influence from them is a little bit different than the influence coming from me. I know that we have in the newer stuff we've been writing, there's some gent stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
And then for melodies and lyric wise, like I went to jazz school, so they're jazz and like old blues kind of influence in the melodies that I'm writing a lot of the time, as well as some like hard rock stuff.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, and like on my side, it's sort of like I say Noah and I have a pretty similar influence space, because we played together for so many years. Like, we were basically like we played with each other pretty exclusively through high school. So we kind of just grew up like in the same stuff, showing each other the same stuff. And like, we were really into Mastodon, Meshuggah, like those heavier bands. But we were also really into like he was really into Blind Melon.
I love Blind Melon.
And I Mother Earth and all that stuff. So those funk influences and those like heavier sort of more genty influences are definitely hitting more of the new stuff. And we both really like Porcupine Tree.
Okay. Yep.
Stephen Wilson, anything he does, we're all over it. So that's also definitely
universal band love right there.
Yeah, cool. Everyone loves Stephen Wilson, our band.
Cool.
Shame, yeah, it breaks my heart. I crawl out of the shadows and made a mark.
Well, I was going to ask about the vocals. I mean, you mentioned that you have the jazz background, and how does that sort of mesh with the heavier stuff? I mean, obviously, you're not the first band to be combining those two sort of things, but having that background, how do you sort of apply that to what you're doing in this band?
Yes, I have fairly unique vocal background where I was trained in a lot of stuff from a very young age. Like my mom's a opera singer and my dad is a band teacher. So I was kind of like pushed into a bunch of stuff. And I think that a lot of it comes through in my singing, not so much stylistically, but in the technique.
Okay.
I'm a big stickler for proper vocal technique. And that has definitely helped me to be able to do more of the heavier stuff that we do with the band, especially this newer song that we just kind of started playing, I guess, 2 gigs ago, where there's a lot more like scream vocals in it.
Cool.
And that's something that I probably wouldn't be able to do without the jazz training and without all of that training that I did beforehand, just because it did set up the foundation for everything. So I'm glad that I have it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't use it a lot, but it's there. Yeah.
And they say a music degree is worthless.
It is.
Do you find like, I mean, when you're coming up with vocal parts, do you find yourself sort of going back to certain things that are very specifically jazz training related, or is it just sort of there in the background as kind of an ongoing, like you said, this foundation of building up your voice?
Yeah, I think I do take a little bit from the jazz training. I mean, a big part of vocal jazz training is to kind of learn how each note of a chord sounds against the chord.
Okay.
And so a lot of the time when I'm sitting and singing through melodies after they've given me the foundations, I end up in my head thinking, oh yeah, I'm singing this note over this chord.
Right.
It's going to sound that way. Or no, I need to change that because it's the wrong. Yeah. So sometimes that comes through, and that's really the only way that I consciously notice it. But I'm sure it's coming through in other ways too that I'm not noticing. Hey.
Yeah, let's just
wait. Yeah. Come on.
People listening to the audio version will not know what we're talking about here, but
nope.
So I was gonna say, you have a new music coming out, and I know you have a single out, you have a couple singles out, you have a video out, and then you're sort of gearing up at the time we're recording this to an actual release. So what can you tell me about what you have recorded and what's coming out?
Well, we recorded 7 songs at Bedside Studio. It was a great experience. Len is a super great guy, very knowledgeable, and actually a very big help because none of us had really been, well, you'd been in a professional studio before, but I mean, this is like our first big venture as a band going into a professional studio. And it was great. But a lot of the songs, these are all songs that we wrote in the past 2 years. A lot of them are almost 2 years old. Some of them are just a little bit younger than that, but this is all old stuff, but it's all new stuff to everyone else, right? So we're listening to it, we're like, this is like, this is like the final version of this song, great. And like, we love this music, but we're like ready to do the new stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's something I've asked a lot with a lot of bands about when they're recording, because I mean, especially over the past few years, because the pandemic's been involved and everything like that, people have often had songs sort of in the can for a while that they've been waiting whether it's to put out or to just play live and things like that. So, a lot of people have the same situation where they have these songs that are, you know, a couple years old and they're finally getting them out now. You've alluded a couple times to the newer stuff you're doing and how it's different. Do these songs feel old to you, or are you still, or do they still feel kind of representative of what the band sounds like now?
Kind of both yeah. Those things. It's definitely Callum said, like, we've been sitting with them for so long, and after going to the studio and doing all the takes that it took to do everything and recording everything and putting it together and listening to it and making sure everything sounded good, you know, like I don't want to say you get sick of them, but you kind of do get sick of them. And we had this neat experience when the singles have come out, where you go back and you listen to it and you're no longer listening to it with a like, oh, I wish I had done this, or oh, I we should do this. Like, you're now listening to it in the mindset of, oh, it's just a song that I'm playing on Spotify, right? So it's a very different way of listening to it. So I think that's now brought it back to it being new again in our ears. But
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty refreshing to listen to singles on Spotify instead of like on a blank, you know, no cover on my phone. It's called like Wake Up Master Number 3
right.
or like something. I guess just it's right on there. It's got the canvas in the background. It's like official, you know, it feels good.
And I guess once it's out there, it's you can't change it, right? It's already your hands already. It's
nope.
that version is the final version because people have already started listening to it.
Yeah.
People are, we got some cats coming in.
Yes.
those were our two biggest fans. I mean, it's been pretty good. Like every time we go to play a show, it's been great. With the singles, like we have a lot of our close friends are telling us like, man, like, you know, the production on that is awesome. Like I'm very happy about that because I'm very production minded in terms of how this is all going to sonically sound.
Okay.
So I was very happy about that. I knew the songs were decent enough, but I was like, it has to sound good.
What?
Like, real professional.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are really liking it. I have people like really enjoying the guitar solo on Mrs. Rockstar as well, which I'm happy about because that took a long time to do because that was all improvised.
Cool.
And I had like, it's like, okay, play it 30 times.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's see which one comes out great, right? And so I'm happy that that came out good.
Yeah. And we also kind of had an interesting thing with the reception of it where I mean, I know you did anyway, thought that Wake Up was going to be kind of more well received than Mrs. Rockstar just because it's more accessible, quote unquote. But we've had I think just in the first week of having Mrs. Rockstar, we had already gotten more streams on that one than the other one. So it was kind of a neat thing to see. And it's not really sure if that's because more people know who we are now or if it's because people like the song better. But either way, it's great. So.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. What are the details about this, about the release? Like when, because the good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out or they could hear it a year from now, at which point, you know, by then this will be out in the world. You may have new music out, you may be touring, playing a lot of shows, who knows, right? So what's the sort of the, if someone's listening sort of at the moment this comes out, what should they be expecting as far as where they can find this music, when they can find it, and things like that?
So it'll be, we're releasing it August 23rd. 2024, if you're listening in a couple
in the
years
future,
from now. And it'll be, so we're doing a show to celebrate that on the 27th of September.
Okay.
At the Times Changed, we have The Sound Off and Dr. Riff supporting us, and you'll be able to get a physical copy of the album there. But in the meantime, until then, you can get to know the songs a bit more, and actually the cool thing is that we used to have demos up on our link tree. I took it down because I want to promote the new stuff.
Yeah.
Like the real versions. But we had demos up there for a while of our five songs that we had. And then, but there was two songs that we'd written after that, which no one has heard recorded before.
Yeah.
So who knows, you might hear it now.
Yeah. And they'll be streaming
in the future,
on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The streaming on, you know, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's on everywhere.
Everywhere that you can stream music.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, there's so many now, it's impossible to even...
I know.
Yeah. I'm glad you're doing a physical release, though. I mean, like, as someone who's old and set in his ways, I don't use streaming services because I have all these tapes and records and CDs, so it's always nice. It's always nice because there's a lot of bands that just don't do it. They don't bother with the actual physical music, and there's still... we're small but mighty. There's still an audience out there for us. But,
Well, and having the CD release, like, too, is just something you can really own it, right? I mean, you know this, obviously. Of course you do. But there's something tangible even for those who haven't grown up with that. Like, and that's a collector's item. People really appreciate that, especially when you make it all nice. So
yeah.
It's something to take home from the show too, right? I mean, if someone loves the show, you give them a download card. It's not, doesn't have the same kind of, same feeling, right?
No.
It kind of gives us a chance to also showcase the really amazing artwork that we had done for the EP cover as well.
Cool.
Which is great.
And that's kind of almost a lost art with a lot of people too, who are not focusing so much on that because streaming has taken over in such a big way that, I mean, the visual aspect of sort of what you're portraying along with the sound is used to be a big deal. I think it still is, like you said, for a lot of people, but it's weirdly disappearing. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really loved having an actual artist do the artwork because we've had the same artist he designed our logo. He designed the artwork for both the singles and also for the EP cover as well. And he's been great to work with, and it's nice to have like a real person. I know there's a lot of bands that are using like AI to do their artwork now. So it's nice to work with a natural person where he'll send us one thing and we'll say, hey, maybe change this, or we'll send him something and he's like adds his own little flair to it. So it's been really nice working with him and seeing his personal touch to something that we might not have had in mind in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. We'll be right back. So if someone's hearing this and this is their introduction to you, the first time they're hearing you, where can they find out more information? I mean, you know, again, this, someone could hear this at any point in the future. You might have more shows happening, things like that. Where do they find that, those details, and where can they follow you to find out what's new in your world?
Yeah, all the information about any of that stuff, it'll always be on our Instagram first and foremost. We do have Facebook, and we do have it linked to our Instagram, but sometimes it just doesn't work. And But if we ever have a show, we'll always have events on Facebook posted and shared. But Instagram is the main place to go. We have Linktree there. It has all of our information for advance tickets, for song releases, and whatever else we have.
Cool. And then I guess YouTube as well, because you have the music video out.
Oh,
and
yeah, YouTube. Yeah, I should mention that.
Make sure it's us, though, because there's another band out there.
There's another song.
Oh, is there? Same name as us.
It's it's like a solo indie project. It's from California.
Yeah, not from here.
Is it active? Like, is this person still making music?
It's active.
They're newer than we are, though.
Okay, yeah. You have the you have the seniority.
Yeah, but they took the name from us on Instagram. I was like, I remember I was like, when I was making the Instagram, I was like, I want to have like just Sunbreather, and someone else had it, and it was empty. And then I checked later, and I was like, damn it, they filled it up and put all the stuff on it. So now we're just Sunbreather official.
At least you're official.
At least.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the real one.
Yeah. Well, I was going to wrap it up here, but I just about that, like, what do you do in a case like that? Because, I mean, I know that there's, you're different countries, you're doing totally different kinds of music. The odds on anything, any kind of clash happening between the two artists is rare. It is unlikely. Because you're probably not going to be playing shows in the same area or whatever, but does that concern you at all, the idea that there's someone else out there with the same name, or are you just...
Not really.
Not really, because, I mean, at first it did concern us a bit, because I wasn't sure how... it concerned me a bit, because I wasn't sure how much traction they would get. And actually, I was getting emails from someone saying, like, hey, you know, this song you just released is great. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's not me. It's... It hasn't really received a lot of traction, to be honest, and I'm not really too worried, because it's a completely different genre of music, completely different country, and it seems we're winning in the follower game so far, so it's all uphill from there, I hope.
You're probably fine.
And I think that if Yeah, I think that if they did ever come to us and say, hey, that's our band name, that we have enough receipts to say, okay, but we actually recalled that first.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're probably good.
It's fine.
Do you want to just plug the release date and the release show information one more time?
Yeah, so it'll be August 23rd for the actual release on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. And then the release show will be September 27th, which is a Friday. Mm-hmm. And it'll be at the Times Change, 234 Main Street, I believe. Yeah. And Sound Off, Dr. Riff. It's going to be a great time.